Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You can find these words recorded in the book of Matthew in chapter 22 at verse 37, beginning from the text that I've read. This ought to be, in fact, a memory verse. One of the first verses that we should memorize, and by example, we should also teach our children. In fact, Jesus quotes what is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And then in verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says these words ought to be within your heart. They're not going to get there by osmosis. They're going to get there by us recognizing the value of God's word and putting those words into our hearts and then instilling them into the hearts of our children. Because you will notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7, he says, you ought to teach these words diligently to your children. And I say all of that simply to say this, is that this is something that they don't teach in schools, which is the subject of our lesson for our Bible class this morning. May I pause first of all and always acknowledge my gratitude to Almighty God. I'd like to use the words of the psalmist from the 40th Psalm at verse 5, where there the psalmist says, many, O Lord God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Let me tell you what, brethren, God has blessed us richly. And I am so grateful for all of the blessings God provides. Yes, his general providence over all mankind, because Jesus says he makes the sun rise on the good and the evil. And so that includes all of us. And I'm grateful for his special providence. Ephesians 1:3 says, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And so I'm grateful for the providence of God, what God has done in creation, what he has done in redemption, what he continues to do, and uphold in all things by the word of his power. And I'm grateful for this wonderful fellowship that we share as brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm grateful for the kind and warm invitation for me to come with my lovely bride, Bessie, to worship and work with you in this special effort. Many faces we know already, having come to Coleman County once again. And I've been here at 157 when there was, and I understand it's still ongoing, your preacher get-together, and I've spoken here before. And so it is so good for us to be here, where there are indeed the people of God who gathered this morning to remember our Lord, to offer worship unto our God, but for this special time that we have now together in these series of lessons, which has no theme, but I've simply chosen subjects that I believe would be encouraging. And that is my aim in these series of lessons, to encourage the brethren here in doing things that I know that you're already doing, but to yet do them yet even more. And I hope that after we complete this series of lessons, that first of all, God would be glorified, and that each of us will be built up further in the most holy faith. I'd like to begin this morning's lesson by reading a letter to you. This was a letter received by parents from a son 1 month before he was diagnosed with lung and brain cancer. I say that simply to point out the fact that that is not what prompted him to write this letter. And this is what it says. Dear Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that I love you and I appreciate all that you have contributed to my life. Thank you for raising me in an area safe from gangs, drugs, and other bad influences. Thank you for instilling in me the values that help me everywhere I go and in everything I do. Thank you for setting tough standards and for not accepting second best. Thank you for instilling our family at mealtime so that we could come to know what family means. Thank you for teaching me the Bible and for taking me to church. Not one day has gone by without prayer. I appreciate the good examples you have set. Your old-fashioned ways and principles of hard work and integrity have been a source of inspiration to me.
I never forget the precious memories of you as good and honest and wonderful people. Thank you, Dad, for working so hard to provide a good life for us and for picking up your tired body to drive us around and taking us where we wanted to go. Thank you, Mom, for being a real mom and not a career person. Kids need someone at home, and you gave us that. Thank you, too, for the nutritionally balanced meals and for all of the home-baked goodies. Thank you, Dad and Mom, for making me earn my allowance. I know many folks my age and even older who feel that life owes them a living. I know that anything worthwhile is hard to come by, and I've learned over the years to respect the value of earning something the hard and honest way. Your example, and I know I've kidded you about it, of being frugal and stretching and saving did rub off on me. Most of all, I thank you for being friends and advisors and responsible parents. I look forward to our telephone visits and every time we have an opportunity to be together. I could go on, but I hope I've communicated my appreciation. I think about it often, but how will you to really know? I love you both. Sincerely, Terry. And just a few months after Terry wrote this letter, he died. But his parents was in possession of a letter that revealed to them that they had transferred these principles of righteousness in his life. And I'm simply saying, folks, that there are some things that they don't teach in school. I know we're all familiar with reading, writing, and arithmetic. These, of course, are things that were referred to as basic skills that were taught in schools. And, of course, the idea of reading, writing, and arithmetic is, I guess, a bit ironic because someone in education would know that two of the words do not start with R. But this is what is oftentimes referred to as traditional education. Back to basics, or basically continuing an education with establishes principles that children should learn that should prepare them for the rest of their lives. Well, I want to talk about, spiritually speaking, three R's this morning that I think that we can take from God's word and help us to instill principles of righteousness in the lives of our children. So first of all, I want us to think about the word respect. And I want to define it for you. The word respect simply means a feeling of deep admiration, due regards for somebody or something. The idea of respect is synonymous with words like fear, esteem, praise, reverence, and honor. And obviously, when we talk about respect, first of all, we note from God's word that we ought to have respect for Almighty God. You're familiar with the passage in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, where the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." What I'd like us to do is turn in our Bibles, if you will, to the book of Exodus in chapter 19. I think we're familiar with how the Bible helps us to understand the books of the Bible. And it says, Exodus simply means exiting out or coming out of Egypt. The children of Israel had been enslaved for over 400 years. And according to the promise that God made to Abraham, they are now headed to the promised land. But God is going to meet with them at Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, where he will give them his law. And I wanted you to notice in chapter 19. Well, let me go back to chapter 18, because here we find how Jethro, that is Moses' father-in-law, gives him some advice. I want you to notice in chapter 18, let's look at verse 19. He says, "Listen now to my voice. I'm going to give you counsel, and God is going to be with you. You stand there before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And listen to this. and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they walk and the work that they must do. This is good advice that Jethro gives to his son-in-law Moses. So God is preparing now the people to meet with him at Mount Sinai. Chapter 19 of the book, God gives some detailed instructions to them. What we also find in chapter 19, the Bible says that there were lightnings and thunderings and the people were afraid. And they said, Moses, you go up on the mountain and whatever God says, that's what we're going to do. You look at chapter 20 and there you find where God gives them the law. The Ten Commandments, which was the basis of the law. But what you're going to find is that there were more than 600 laws, statutes, commandments, and ordinances that would regulate the lives of Israel. You see, they lived under a theocracy. It's not a Bible word, but the concept is God regulated their civil affairs, God regulated their religious affairs, and God regulated their home life. God controlled them in every area of their life, and God does the same today with us. But I want you to notice, after giving them the Ten Commandments, I'm still in chapter 20. I want you to look at verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, the flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. Now there's two words here that appear in our English language, that is the word fear and fear. Now these two Hebrew words are not the same in the Hebrew language. You know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. These two words are not the same, but they're similar. One has to do with being afraid. It's kind of like, you remember when we were growing up, and I'm talking about some of the older generation, when our parents would tell us to do something, and we may have been a little slow in doing that, and they would raise their voices, and they would look at you, and you knew what that meant. Well, God appeared to them in such a way that they would get they would get God's attention. And so Moses said, this is the way God appeared to you, so that you would be impressed. And they were impressed with God, and they were afraid. And that's why they said, Moses, you go up there and you listen to God. And whatever God said, that we're going to do. But Moses said he also appeared to you that his fear may be upon you. You know what that's like? That's like when our parents tell us something to do. We don't want to disappoint them because we love them. And we know in our hearts that what they have in mind for us is our best. So the idea here is that we need to teach our children, and we ourselves must learn to fear Jehovah God. As a matter of fact, you remember what the wise man said after all of the advice given in the book of Ecclesiastes, as well as in the book of Proverbs. The whole of man is to do what? Fear God and keep his commandments. I'm going to tell you what, folks, they don't teach this in school. This is something that must be taught at home. There was a time when everybody believed in God. Or at least it seems. And it seemed to be a time when everybody went to church on Sunday. But I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of things that are taught in school today that are not consistent with the Word of God. And I'll bring this up in one of the lessons we're going to deal with when we talk about the problem of self. But I'm going to tell you what. One of the philosophies in the world today is humanism, which basically wants to take God out of the picture. But let me tell you what, folks, life begins with God. And we need to have a healthy respect for God. As a matter of fact, when God gave the Ten Commandments, remember what God says, I am Jehovah thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Folks, sometimes when people mention God, it's either with profanity or some exclamation or some euphemism. Let me tell you what, folks. When we speak the name of God, when we think of God, we need to think of God as the Creator, the Holy One, the Almighty God, the Omnipotent One. And we need to speak His name with respect and with reverence and with honor and with praise. And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. They don't teach this in school either, and that is respect for elders. I want you to look at the instructions that the Levitical priests were given who were to teach the word of God to the people. Look at Leviticus in chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, look at verse 32. The Bible says, "You shall rise before the hoary head or the gray head and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." And this is not gender specific. He's talking about the older man and the older woman. Let me tell you what, when I was growing up, Mom and Dad taught us, everybody older than you, you put a handle on it. It's either Mr. or Miss. I'm telling you, folks, we are living in an age today where young people disrespect the aged. God says, you need to teach this inside your homes. They need to be respected, reverenced, praised, and honored by virtue of the fact that they have lived a life and the experience that we can gain from them can be shared. Do you know that there is, in fact, what is called a Senior Citizens Day, Senior Citizens Day, August 21st, every year? Do you think that we need a day set aside just to honor senior citizens? It almost seems absurd, doesn't it? It's kind of like we need a day set aside just to honor mothers. It ought to come naturally. But God says, you shall respect the aged. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, they don't teach that in school. And I'm going to tell you something else they don't teach in school. Respect for parents. I want you to look in your Bible in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And part of this is a larger context where the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, who he said at one time they were without God and without hope in their life. But because of the grace and the mercy of God, and because of this eternal purpose of God, that God wants all men to be saved, he says, now you put on a new man. And he tells them how to walk. You walk in love. You walk in light. You walk in wisdom. And a part of this context, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking about the responsibilities inside the home. The role of fathers, the role of mothers, the role of parents, and the role of children. And so in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, I want you to look at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to notice at verse 1. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And so, yes, this is instructions for parents, specifically with fathers in verse 4. But first of all, the children. And that children should respect their parents. Remember what we said respect is by definition? A feeling of deep admiration for someone elicited by their abilities, their qualities, or their achievement. It means to give due regard for the feelings, the wishes, the rights, or the traditions of others. Synonymous with fear. Yes, because of who they are. And because of the position that God has put them in. And we must remember that parents are the ones who rule the home, not the children. And one of the first things that children should be taught is that they need to respect their parents.
And what you oftentimes find is that men don't have a problem with teaching children to respect them, but sometimes they are lacking when those children should be taught to respect their mothers. But both parents should be taught to respect their parents and to respect their grandparents and respect all of those who are older, but especially within the home. Because if respect is not taught in the home, let me tell you what, folks, they will leave their home and they're not going to respect their teachers and they're not going to respect those civil servants and they're going to find themselves in trouble. They're going to find themselves in trouble with God. They're going to find themselves in trouble with the law. And this is what you call basics. Yes, the three R's. Beginning with respect. And also respect for others. Look at 1 Peter in chapter 2 at verse 13. We're talking about all people. We should have a healthy respect for ourselves and also a respect for other people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to notice at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 13. The two major doctrines that Peter is dealing with these Christians who he calls are going through a fiery trial. He talks about the doctrine of suffering and the doctrine of submission. But as he begins with the doctrine of submission, we cannot handle the idea of suffering as we ought until we understand the principle of the doctrine of submission. And that's what he's talking about here. Submission, first of all, to government. He says in verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are set by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. This is inclusive of everyone, every human being. So I think what that is saying is that we need to respect everybody. Of course, whoever they are, we need to respect roles of authority. We need to respect those who've been put in positions of authority. Because this is the will of God, he says. What we're saying is that this is one of the things that is not taught in school. Second of all, responsibility. Responsibility, by definition, simply means having a job or a duty, having control over something or even someone. It means being able to answer for one's own conduct. It means having obligations. It means being able to choose for oneself between right and wrong. I can give you the Navy's definition, and I think Brother Joe will agree with that. It simply means doing what you're supposed to do and not doing what you're not supposed to do. It simply means following the rules. And along with this, here's a bit of advice. You know how you can get along in an organization like the military where there are rules? Which operate under uniform code of military justice is a different law. All you have to do is follow the rules. Because you know when you don't follow the rules, you know what happens? There is pain associated with wrongdoing. That's why it's important. And when we talk about responsibility, folks, we're talking about simple things. Simple things I know that might be common to all of our families. Love God. Love family. Tell the truth. Work hard. Be kind to other people. And when we talk about responsibility, one of the first things come to my mind is choices. I mean, that's what life is about, the ability to choose. And we need to teach our children about choices, that our choices have consequences. So we need to help them to learn how to make the right choices. We're going to make choices because God gives us free will. God could have made us as robots. You know that? God could have made us do exactly what he wanted us to do. That's what the sun does in all of its glory, and the moon and the stars. They shine in all their brilliance.
but to man. He gives free will. We can choose God or we can reject God. You say, well, how does God get glory from that? Revelation 4:11 tells me that God created man for his glory. Do you know how God is glorified? God is glorified when we decide of our own volition, I'm not going to do what I want to do, but because I recognize that God is right and that God's way is best, and I submit to God, that's how God is glorified. And I learn who I am, and I learn why I'm here and what I'm supposed to be doing while I'm here, and I learn what's going to happen to me after I leave. That's why responsibility is so important. And here's a principle of life, folks. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. If we sow to the spirit, we're going to reap everlasting life. You know what that means, folks? It means that consequences of our choices are going to come upon us. And this is what we've instilled in our three daughters, as well as our three granddaughters. You want good things to happen to you? Just do what you're supposed to do. Do what you've been taught. Do what is right. And we find out what is right by that which comes from the Word of God. So we're talking about proper behavior. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the preacher. He gives us several instances. What comes out of your mouth, you're responsible for that. What you do, integrity. That's another. Because God desires truth in the inward man. Hebrews 4:13 says, for neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And of course, temptation, which is universal, would abstain from every form or every appearance of evil. So when it comes to responsibility, is there any wonder why this world is so much a mess? Instead of people doing what God wants them to do, instead of people living in harmony, what they should be taught at home, we have people making choices. We have people with irresponsible behavior, even adults. People who lack integrity. People giving into temptation. And we're all going to be tempted. And so we fail to learn principles at home that ought to be taught. And last but not least of these three is repentance. Repentance simply means to change one's mind. It means to feel sorrow, regret, or contrition. It means to turn from sin and to dedicate oneself to God. And I could think no other place to sort of end this lesson is with proper motives. Motives is why we do what we do. If we go back to where we begin in the book of Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, remember that was the basis of the laws that God gave Israel. You shall love the Lord your God with what? With all. And if we understood that, the first commandment, the first great commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two form the basis of our existence upon what you call planet Earth. And we would come to learn that when we do error, when we do fall, we understand the consequences to our choices, consequences to our fall. And so we change our motives. And we strive to learn that I want to please mom and dad as best as I could. I want to do right and I want to listen to my teachers and do what my teachers tell me to do. But first and foremost, I want to recognize my Creator. That's why the wise man said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because the chances are, if you remember him when you're young, you're going to remember him throughout your life. And certainly you're going to remember him as you face the declining years of life. The proper motives. The reason why we do what we do. So let's make some application. For why do you do what you do? Is it to please God? Is it out of routine? These are things that are not taught in school, but these are things that come from the Word of God. Just like God gave Israel the law, The base of the first of the Ten Commandments, the first four of them, had to do with Israel's relationship to Almighty God. The other six had to do with their relationship to other people. And so God gives us laws today. And so in a sense, God rules over us. As far as a home and a family. As far as civil government. Every authority that is that which is ordained by God. And certainly when it comes to religion, because Jesus Christ is the head of the body of the church. Colossians 1:18. So when we understand the authority of God in every area of our life, and we submit to God in those areas of our lives, then our motive should be to strive to please God. And of course, secret good thoughts. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you know what daily Bible reading will do for us? It will cause us to stock our minds with good thoughts so we can meditate on the Word of God, so we can make right choices, so we can fortify ourselves when the devil comes. So when tragedy strikes our life, as we talked this evening about let not your heart be troubled, because all of that is a part of life. In the book of Joel 14:1, the Bible says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. God still tells us how to live. Sometimes the suffering we endure is because of choices we make in our own lives. But we're in the process of constantly turning and changing. Because the aim of this all is to conform to the image of Christ. And of course, right actions. And this is where I'd like to close. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 11, if you will. As we, in a sense, go from youth to the aged. Notice, in the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 11, here is an admonition to young people. And then, of course, to the aged. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, look at verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. And therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Ignore the chapter break. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height, and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the dust as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let me tell you what, folks, this is not taught in schools. This helps us to understand our existence upon this earth.
And he's saying, young people, live your life so you live it without regret. I know of no older saint who have lived their life and regret the choice that they made to believe in Jesus Christ, to submit their will unto him, and to strive to live the rest of their life being pleased to God, and to try to share that same truth with other people. These are the things that are not taught in school, and so many more. But I hope that these will encourage us to teach our children the things that God wants them to know and to do and to be. The lesson's yours. Thank you for your attention.